Hi guys, this is Road to Revamp and I'm your host Abhishek. Today we have with us a profound thinker, a passionate coach and a transformation wizard. Please welcome Imran Bajaj.
Let me come to the first cliched question, that why did you enter in this industry when you knew at that time that, I mean, there was no such thing. Fitness industry, it developed after I think after 2010, and you were in this industry early 2000. Mm-hmm. So why did you just decide it?
I would say that once I finished my college, I was introduced to books. Mm-hmm. Okay, through one of my friend. He lives in Hyderabad, and so that's how I got interested with reading a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And in that 1 year after my graduation, I was like sitting idle, so at mm-hmm. those time I used to just focus on reading. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, it got into me. I started reading a lot of business books, a lot of self-help books, a lot of this lifestyle and spiritual books. Mm-hmm. And then I landed in a job, which is a corporate job. I worked for an MNC Fortune company. Mm-hmm. And in that job also, my you know, I was always looking for something more in my life. You know, more morning. I don't like a routine life, a life in which you have to get up early in the morning, bloody go through the traffic. And
9 to 5.
I was fed up. I was fed up with that 9 to 5 shit. Okay, and there was no quality work also. So it was always within me, you know, I wanted to do something on my own. And through certain books, through certain spiritual and self-help books, I realized that, you know, if you want to achieve excellence, you need to do something which you love. Mm-hmm. And which you're passionate about. Because every individual, they come to the world, they're born with certain skill. Okay, it's about them, how, when they realize it, okay, this is something I'm gifted with.
It's a kind of calling for you.
Yes, so I got that calling, and I started doing a lot of research on how to go with it. Because I've been training from the time I was 13 or 14 years. I was doing lifting. I've trained a lot of people in a very casual manner, friendly manner. I was in sports in my native town also. I was in good lifting. And even the Sports Authority of India people, my father, like, he's well connected. They approached him that he is lifting really well for a 14 year guy. Mm-hmm. So you should put him in weightlifting. And those days, parents, you know, like, why you want to spoil his life? He's studying, he's doing well in his studies, let him study. Don't get just for a hobby or to kill time. Mm-hmm. He's just coming to the gym and working out. No need to entertain him in all this stuff. Those days itself, my lift was really good. I was lifting 80, 90, 100 kg around, say, from the time I was 14. Okay, but yes, during the college days, I discontinued working out. The focus was not there.
Yes.
And the biggest thing is, you need money to sustain all these things. You need a lot of nutrition and everything. And in my college days also, I was involved in bodybuilding competition. I was very much into the bodybuilding fraternity at that time. Yeah. We never used to take any supplements that time, and we used to build good body. Mm-hmm. I represented Mr. Chennai, Mr. Madras and all that competitions. My friends there still, Mr. South India, Mr. India. Mm-hmm. Okay, I left it because the focus was not there. I was doing engineering, then you need a lot of money to support your hobby also. So this is how I got into it, and I did some research online. I found about Sankar Bashu. I contacted him personally, I mailed him. So he called me. In those days, nobody was wanted to, you know, get into this industry. So when when a person who is already, you know, achieved something in the industry, they see like people who are educated, they are coming into it. They actually encourage. Hmm. They feel good ki, okay, you know, someone who is educated, who is an engineer, he wants to get into this field. It's a good resource for them.
Right.
Okay. So this way they can make them understand, okay, you go and do all the certifications, you have a science base. Because this is science. Mm-hmm. Most of the people, they think, you know, exercise is like, us time pe, like, being a trainer is like you're a helper in the gym. Okay. So that's how I got into it, because I was very passionate about it and I wanted to do something on my own. From that time itself, I had in my mind to start my own stuff. The time I entered the industry, my goal was to do something on my own.
Right.
Those were all okay stepping stone to learn the trade. I knew the trade from a casual point of view, but I didn't know the trade from a professional point of view. So I gained professional experience. It was tough, but that's where my Basu actually helped me a lot. He, like in my first or second meeting, he told me that, there are two ways. You will find two kinds of trainer, two kinds of coaches in the industry. One who bullshits, okay. One who goes with the science,
yeah.
Okay, goes with the fact and figure, okay. If you want to grow, you go with the second
letters.
you educate yourself, yeah. Basically. More and more education, that will help you. Bullshitting will not help you.
So how did you decide to shift your base from South India to Gurgaon or Delhi?
It was I was going through a personal transition in my life. I was my son was born. After that, I was finding it difficult for that first year. The baby is small, so I thought I'll go to my native for some time. I took a calculative risk. I said I asked my wife also to quit the job. I'll go there, I'll give a try. I have properties there. I thought I'll start a gym.
Okay.
And at that time, I was working in a corporate.
Okay.
And I was almost in a transition phase. I was planning to move into this industry. So I decided, let's go back and just spend some time with the family also. I thought. And simultaneously, I'll build a setup also. But that didn't work out. In 3-4 months, a lot of issues at home. Because family, small town, mindset and all that didn't go well. I thought it was the wrong decision. And I told my wife, my thought process is very progressive and I'm very, I guess heavy risk very quickly. I have that sense.
Okay.
I'm very cautious. I'm very cautious. Yeah. So I found that if I stay here, it will be a problem. Within 3 months, I calculated it. So I said, let's take a quick decision and move. So my wife, she worked for Accenture. So she applied again, and there was an opening in Gurgaon. I wanted to go to Mumbai. My wife said, Mumbai, working in a company and commuting and the quality of life is a challenge.
Yeah.
Mumbai is a good spot. But because of her, we just moved to Gurgaon.
Yeah.
It's okay, let's go to Gurgaon. So we shifted to Gurgaon. South India, I didn't want to be there because I've spent a lot of time there. And I wanted to stay away from my people.
Yes.
Otherwise, they'll bother you a lot. So I moved to... I came here to Gurgaon, then I just walked into Fitness First.
So you already had this ACE certification? And
I had ACE certification. That I did from the beginning itself, I did the certification. Those days they were only 90...
Under 100 people.
Under 100 people were ACE certified and it was good at that time.
So it was easier to mingle with the people from Delhi and
that was never a problem with me because I'm actually an introvert.
Okay. That I know.
So I don't look anything outside.
Yeah.
I'm on my own. Okay, I'm busy. I'm self occupied with my own priorities. It's going inside my head. About education, about some sort of work which I'm working on. So that's never a problem because I hardly socialize. I don't socialize because I know socializing again it takes you somewhere.
So don't you think socializing in fitness industry can help you grow better?
No, I don't think so.
These days, you know, they have started some awards, some different things.
See, I want to do the real work, okay? I don't want to get into the...
So you don't think this is the right way to go further?
It's good, you know, you can stay connected, but I feel, you know, if you're trying to stay connected also, you should feel the other person, you know, the people are well worth also to be connected. Okay.
They are at the same frequency.
Yes, frequency, and they're doing some real work. What I believe is, the real work, you know,
speaks itself.
Doesn't happen with a noise. Okay, the real work happens far beyond all this nuisance. Okay, I'll give you an example of scholars or intellectuals. They are never in the limelight.
True.
Okay, in the limelight, if you are getting limelight, then there is something wrong. Okay, you're not doing the real work, actually.
Eventually you will come in limelight.
That should come with the work, I'm saying. Okay. You should do something, but it will never come. If you do the real work, you know, if you do the work which is far away from appearance and perception, becoming in limelight is very difficult. Okay, limelight is only possible when you go with the mediocrity.
Right.
And take an example of Bollywood itself.
Yes.
People who are doing real work, nobody is bothered about them. But people who are making junk, they are making crores. That's how it is. But this is actually a personal priority and personal interest also.
I totally agree with this, and even I don't want to, you know, socialize too much, go to the parties, business parties. So because I think that I'm wasting, I can use this time to grow myself more in my practice and for my clients.
Coming, you know, connecting and networking.
Right.
I don't know, like, how is it going to help?
In some ways, like, you know, if like-minded people...
But it's not sustainable. I know that. It's not sustainable.
No, what I'm trying to say, like-minded people, those who really want to do something, and they have that, you know, strong science base, they have the idea or training principles, what are the real training principles. If they can collaborate, I think...
I'll ask you to relate it. I was speaking to one of my friend. He's into stock market. And he's also, I would say that 1-2% of the population who has a different mind,
right?
Like how we have. Okay, so that day he was telling me, he was so confident that he is saying, we will be successful in life. There's no doubt about that. Okay, because you go in the market, you go outside, and you interact with people, 99% of the people don't know what they're doing. Okay. They have no depth. Okay. And the market realizes this. Okay. See, I relate everything. I have good knowledge of investment and stock market also. I have good knowledge about this also. I'm saying, so if you see a stock market, if you understand it, you might find there are certain stocks which has been speculated, which are famous. They might be going to the peak and people might be thinking 99% people will be investing on it just out of speculation and because it's there in the news.
Right.
But there will be certain stocks which are fundamentally so strong and their books are so good, people will not know. Okay. But those are the stocks which gives the maximum return over a period of time. So similarly, you go out, you know, you go in the society, you interact with 99% of the people will not have any depth. Either they are parroting something out of the trend, okay, or they are trying to pretend that they know, okay. But there will be no depth, okay, there will be no depth, lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, okay. They are full of information, okay, but information is not going to help. Okay, you see, internet also, it's full of information.
It doesn't turn into wisdom.
I can, you know, guarantee it and give you that you will never get an answer in internet if you're looking out for something.
You'll get more questions.
It will confuse you more, okay, because you'll never get the answer. If you look for weight loss also in internet, it will take you everywhere. Do this, do that, do that. At the end of the day, after browsing for 5 hours also, you will not get the answer. Because so much of information and so much of distorted information.
Right.
Okay. So, I believe, as you said, you go and
collaborate
and all. So, I don't find, I'm getting some sort of interest. Okay, I should go collaborate. I should get that. I respect knowledge. I respect, wisdom. But I should get that also. And moreover, I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Everybody has different...
fine without collaborating, actually. Because most of the time, collaborating, what happens, because you're collaborating with the 99%, there is some hidden agenda always. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, which will actually, waste your time, waste your energy for no reason. Okay. There will be no quality work also.
Uh-huh.
Okay. People have a very short time focus.
Narrow mindset.
And they try to leverage all that.
Yeah, let's talk about weight loss. Like you just said, people are after weight loss. Like weight loss is a limelight these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think not always, just these always, days, always. Everybody starts their fitness journey because, maybe trainers too, but almost everybody starts coming to the gym when they become fat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always running after this thing. I mean, they get fat.
So 99% of the people.
They lose fat. They again gain fat. So, how do you convince your clients to get out of this, this vicious cycle?
See, I tell them to take one step at a time.
Right.
Okay. Losing weight with the wrong method is very easy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know all the wrong methods also. I can give you within 3 months, 2 months, you'll lose. But again, that will harm the body more and it will put you in more trouble for a period of time. Okay, I'll give you an example. Like, I see my my father, he never followed any diet. And even for that matter, anybody from our father's age,
right,
they never followed any diet. And they had good,
strong.
They used to eat a lot and they used to be active. I think rather... doing yo-yo dieting and doing all that nonsense, it's better you be where you are. You eat, enjoy. Okay, that will keep your body healthier in the long run.
Some physical practice.
It will keep you. Instead of doing yo-yo dieting, if you eat whatever you want to eat,
yes,
the regular Indian food,
mm-hmm,
that is much healthier in the long run.
True.
Because you're not going to end up ruining your metabolism,
right,
ruining your hormone by doing all this, very fluctuating dieting, extreme dieting, yo-yo dieting, different sort of dieting.
Cheese
diet. DM diet. There's a lot of diet actually. So
high protein, high carbohydrate.
So I always tell my clients to, the first and most important thing is I don't complicate things. If they come to me, I said you just think about coming to the gym 3 times in a week. Okay. That's your first work. 3 times in a week and clean up your diet. Okay, get rid of sugar and get rid of junk and all this stuff.
How do you motivate them to get rid of all these things like junk or sugar? Because people are addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to get calories.
I never force them. I never force my clients. I tell them, you try this now. Okay, try to reduce it. Okay, and you see the difference. And try to come to the gym. That's the first work.
Mm-hmm.
Keep, as a beginner, the first job is to come to the gym at least 3 times in a week and clean up your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. I won't say you have to clean up 100%.
Uh-huh.
If you clean up 50% also, you will start seeing results. That's what my focus is. I don't complicate. I take this, I relate this as an example, like how you, if a kid comes to a school, a nursery school, their mindset about our industry is the same, about fitness and all that. So first day itself, we'll not teach the kid grammar and, you know, you'll not teach the kid all that complicated maths and all. We'll first teach them A, B, C, D, you know. You learn that first, practice it. 1, 2, 3, 4, you learn that, practice it. And it's sustainable, actually, because I'm preparing themselves for success.
Right.
Okay, you can do this. It's very easy for beginners to do it. Okay, thoda sa, I'll clean up my diet, I'll work out. You come and just move, do some basic exercises and just enjoy. Okay, because I believe if you force them, if you put them into extreme methods, they'll get scared.
But some people ask for extreme methods. They'll come to you and they have some agenda, like after 2 months I'm getting married. And please fix me and I'll get these habits.
After the assessment, I tell them the truth. I would suggest them, don't go for it. Okay. Because this temporary fix will actually give you more trouble after your marriage. Rather, I would suggest you to follow the right program. Okay. I don't help these kind of people.
You're clear about it.
I will tell the fact. Because it's something which is unethical, I don't follow it. I tell the client I can't do all this. 2 months, 3 months. 2 months, I can work on maybe, you know, if the goal is achievable, which is under the metric of healthier methodology. Okay, fine, you know, you're working on maybe 6, 7 kilos, 8 kilos. I can try doing that. Okay, if you do everything in the right way. Okay, but anything which is like, you know, beyond, like if they say 20, 30 and all that, so I don't accept those kind of clients. I'm very particular.
It's really important, otherwise, I mean, people fall into these traps 3 months.
I tell them the truth, okay, it's not healthy and I don't accept them as a client.
So do you suggest any blood work before starting the training?
No, nothing. Just ask the basic questions like any injuries, musculoskeletal injuries.
Because I'm asking because most of the people these days are very deficient in vitamin D and especially vitamin B12. And I've seen major energy, they have no energy at all. And if we fix these two things, people start having more energy and they can perform
better. But yes, fixing it is not a 1 month or 2 month job also. No,
I'm asking, like, you don't go for blood work.
No, blood work. I just talk to them and a general conversation. I'll come to know what all problems they have. If they have thyroid issues, if they have any sort of metabolic disorders. Deficiencies, most of the women are vitamin D deficient. They have all these problems. So I ask them to consult the doctor, and if they are ready to give them supplementation, fine, you can go for it.
You don't suggest?
I don't suggest. Beginners, though, I never suggest supplements, unless and until some advanced trainee comes to me. I don't suggest for the beginners. I never suggest supplements to beginners. I tell them to get it from diet, or I tell them to consult the doctor. Because you don't know what all other health conditions they have. No, vitamin D is good. But sometimes it doesn't work with certain people.
Right.
Okay, it has certain other reactions. So for a beginner, I don't think it's wise enough to suggest them for supplements.
You know, in these, in this age, even vegetables don't contain a good amount of nutrition. Like way back in 20 years back, vegetables, I mean, they never used to use a lot of chemicals and everything. These days, everything is so shiny and nutrition deficient. So, in such scenario, don't you think it is advisable to get some multivitamin or?
I don't suggest to beginners. Okay. Beginners, I normally say you work on the diet first. Okay, work on having whole foods. I give them a basic diet which we have actually, which is basic healthy eating. Where you have all the macros in a balanced manner. Once they start eating, you know, things fall in place, I would say.
One after another.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
You know, only supplement is not going to help. They again get into that mindset, this is some, you know, magical
thing. They can take everything.
I keep the things very simple. You know, you have to eat healthy. And you have to exercise and you have to sleep, keep yourself less stressed, work on these three things and your life will change. Okay, so I work on giving you something which is permanent and sustainable, or rather, you know, just putting you into something and burning you off.
Yeah.
And after 2-3 months, you'll burn out and again you'll go back to your
previous lifestyle.
Yeah, because it's all about mindset, preparing the mindset, actually. But yes, the question here is, if you see this gym also, I don't interact with clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is my way of working.
Okay,
but the business-wise, if you see SquatFit, it's a very beginner platform.
Right.
Okay. So the kind of service what I'm talking now is, it's more of a personal training and, you know, personal consultation. Okay. So I don't do that anymore. I don't train people. Okay. I design a program, very basic stuff, wherein I want people, beginner, to come in to a novice setup and engage themselves in fitness. Okay. If you do this 2-3 years, then you might be ready for the next level.
Right.
Or after that, the next level. So I just have I have templates here. Like, I have 100, 200 programs, templates, which my trainer keeps writing on the board. So everything is designed by me.
Right.
And the diet part, the basic part. So I try to uncomplicate everything.
True.
So this is basically a setup wherein I'm focusing on decommercializing it. Okay, I'm not trying to commercialize, I'm not trying to persuade you. I'm not at all involved. You join, you get the program, you will get a diet chart, stick to it.
So there is no separate charges for, you know,
nothing. It's very simple. It's very simple, and you will get the results. You follow the basic program, you follow the basic diet protocol, and you can continue this for at least 1-3 years. I'm talking about beginners. Okay, majority are beginners. Okay. So, and they will get results if they do it in the right way. And they don't need anything else.
That's true.
99% of the consumers in fitness industry require this only. In India,
some movement, healthy diet.
Yes, basic movements. Yeah, basic movements, basic diet you follow and just move around. That's more than enough. People are trying to complicate it. The industry is trying to complicate it so that they can charge you, so that they can, you know,
make a fortune out of it.
Make a fortune out of it. Because otherwise, if you see the client base, they are all beginners.
Right.
Okay. They are all beginners. So whatever programming I do, complicated, or I won't say complicated also, a little bit of thinking is happening in that. I'm doing it on myself only. Okay. You don't have clients to do it.
So if a person who's overweight, and he enters in your gym, and he asks, like, what would be the normal protocol for that person, exercise-wise?
Body weight movements.
Like, can you suggest a template so somebody, they're listening?
I'll focus on stability and mobility first, okay? If you see my programming, I'll go with the exercise principle. For instance, the workout will start with mobility drills, okay? The mobility drills itself will work like a cardio for you.
Okay. For a beginner.
Yeah. Then basic stability, wherein, you know, I'll focus on plank, bridging, and bird dog, something like that, which will cover the entire core element.
Yeah.
And then movement. 2 or 3 movements I'll select. Maybe it can be a squat, on a box, or TRX squat, just holding it and doing a squat, and some push-ups, and one pulling exercise. And it's done. Basically.
So there are a lot of basics without any, you know, giving them first day trauma.
No.
Okay, so they're lying on the floor.
My mindset is encouraging people.
Right.
Most important aspect is to, when the way I program my programs is, when they leave the gym, they should have completed the workout.
Right.
And, you know, they'll have that achievement feeling. I'm able to do the workout. If you take the client in a way wherein, you know, he's struggling to work out, that means you're doing something wrong. It's actually hitting his or her mindset. You know, I can't do this. I think I've done a mistake joining a gym.
Failure mindset.
Yeah, failure. I don't do that. I will take them through a very, you know, a workout wherein they'll be able to do it. They'll be able to complete it. That's the most important aspect of a program, of it, you know, exercise.
That will make them come back.
Completing the workout is very important. If they are not able to complete, see, the point here is, if you see the exercise science point of view, you have to engage the client for at least 40-45 minutes. You have to program in that way that the person is in that zone for 40-45 minutes. That's where the skill is needed.
Right.
It's not like the 20 minutes you have killed the client and like 2-3 days the person is having problem. So that's not the right way.
I've seen your Facebook post about low carb diet. Right? I was really interested to discuss this. I mean, at times I've seen you yourself have followed low carb diet. I actually advocate low carb diet because they keep a lot of things out of question. And I mean, for me, it's simple. Not eating a lot of.
See, that's why like there are a lot of metrics here.
Yeah.
When I say low carb diet. In that quotation, I've mentioned that it will not work in the long run.
Yeah, I really want to understand the science behind it.
So the point here is, I have come to a point wherein I have realized, as far as exercise programming or nutrition programming is concerned, it can never be constant.
Right.
Okay, it can never be ki I will follow a paleo and I'll be fine, I'll follow a zone and I'll be fine, I'll follow a IF, I'll be fine.
Right.
It's about your biofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how your body is responding to certain macros.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you're doing, what kind of workout you're doing. So there's a lot of factor here which is very subjective in nature.
It's true.
Okay. So when I say low carb will not work in the long run, okay, because it actually violates the regular lifestyle principle, okay. Like it's very difficult to sustain a low carb life in a society, okay. It's good to start with, maybe 2 months, 3 months, you stay in low carb. But you have to come back. So why 2 months, 3 months? So it will improve your blood profile.
Right.
It will improve your hormone profile. It will improve your insulin sensitivity.
Yeah.
All these things will get in place. Basically, it will reset your metabolism. Okay. But your goal has to be to bring your body in a diet wherein you are eating all the macros in a really well manner.
Mm-hmm.
And still staying lean. So it's about eating big and still staying lean.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the goal of a nutrition program.
Right.
Okay, if I've started my diet with 50 gram carbs at a point where my metabolism was damaged, that 50 gram carbs itself was, you know, putting my body into trouble. It was getting stored as fat. I'm giving an example. But you have to train the body in such a way that after 1 year, metabolism reset takes at least 1.5 to 2 years.
Right.
Okay, that's why I say 2-3 months transformation is all.
They just mess up.
It's all gimmicks.
Yes.
It's all gimmicks.
Regular metabolism.
So the goal should be that after 1 year, I need to have 200-300 grams of carbs and still I'm maintaining my leanness.
Right.
That should be the goal. Optimizing metabolism. Okay, you have to optimize your metabolism. The people, what they do, they continue the low-carb element throughout their life. And what happens is, it ruins your gut health over a period of time. And again, your diet is very expensive if you are on low-carb. There's no point. Why? Unnecessarily. You can bring down your protein and increase your carbs and stay in relative deficit.
Right.
You'll still stay lean. So, that's why I say, and another problem is with low carb is you can't progress as far as exercise is concerned. You know, improving your performance is concerned, you can't progress with a low carb diet.
Okay,
because if you're having low carb, how will you lift heavy weights? How will you progress? You
know? Yes, performance wise.
You can't do it. You know, any sort of, I would say, endurance work or like explosive works or any sort of performance based, athletic based workout, you can't sustain it for long if you stay in low carb. Because that glycogen, it fuels the workout basically. So what I believe is it's important to reset the metabolism and bring it to a level wherein no macro is a problem, okay, and you're having enough carbs, good amount of protein, moderate amount of protein, and healthy amount of fat, and you're staying lean. That should be the goal. It takes time.
Yeah, otherwise people go into high fat diets like ketogenic diets and they follow them.
Again, ketogenic diet is again a problem.
Right. I mean, 2-3 months you can hardly see.
These kind of diets doesn't optimize metabolism.
Okay.
These kind of diets will slow the metabolism. If somebody who is on a low carb diet or a keto diet, you just bring that person to a normal diet for a month, the rebound effect will be horrible. Okay.
They will gain
weight and fat like anything because the metabolism is damaged. And this is a big phenomena in the competition area. People, they go on extreme diet, keto and low carb, they show the packs and everything.
Right.
But once they get back to their normal life, their metabolism is screwed up.
They again struggle.
They struggle. It's all gone. The body is not responding now.
Right.
Because you have created so much of deficit. You have gone to the extreme method. Okay, now the body is not reacting. The entire metabolism is damaged. So the majority, what you see here now is, they're actually damaging their metabolism. The people are joining gym, they're following a nutrition program, they're actually damaging their metabolism, they're not optimizing it. Optimizing is your eating, like for instance, you see a guy who is in his 15 years of age or 18 years of age, he's eating everything and he's staying lean, that is
right.
Metabolic optimization. Okay, that has a different path altogether. Okay, it can't be that you have to take a diet and follow it. It's about you have to do a lot of trial and error. Okay, I'm at 60-70 grams, I'm bringing it up now, see how the body, what is the water retention and all that. You need to monitor a lot, and it takes time.
There are a lot of people like my father and grandfather, they used to eat a lot of sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Even, when they were beyond 70 and they were lean, they used to do all the farm work and everything.
So these are dangers of dieting.
And they were able to do all these things. I don't think the youngsters from now...
That's what I'm saying. It's better not to diet. Okay. If you don't know the in-depth science and how the body responds, it's better not to diet.
So, what do you think about intermittent fasting? I mean, I have done intermittent fasting for really long, and it has benefited me.
Methods, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. All these methods are good for 2 to 3 months.
I have, my personal experience is I did IF for 18 months in a stretch. Then I realized that I have autoimmune thyroid condition. It was there from very childhood, but I didn't realize that. Then I just stopped because it was messing up with my metabolism. So that's why I stopped.
That's what I'm saying. These methods, all these dietary methods, are good for 2 to 3 months. After that, these methods are actually used to reset the metabolism, nothing else.
Okay.
It's basically, bringing the body, it's like cleaning the engine of the car, actually.
It's like servicing the
car. Servicing. Your car is all screwed up, you had a lot of long ride and everything. Now you are giving it to the garage so that you can clean it up and it's ready now. So to get the body ready to absorb nutrients, you have to reset it. That reset process can be improved through these kind of diets for 2 to 3 months. Because certain people might take 2 months, certain people will reset their metabolism in 1 month or 3 or 5 months, 6 months, depending on how much fat you have.
Right.
Okay, now these kind of diets, what will happen is, for instance, you are 20-30 kilo more than your weight. When you follow these kind of diets, first 3-4 months, you lose all the junk, all the shit will go out.
Right.
Okay, so the fat has gone. Because the more fat you have, the difficult, for the hormone to work in your favor. Okay, even the insulin and everything.
Yes.
So if the fat goes down, now the body is ready to absorb nutrients in a better way. It will not get stored in the fat.
At the same time, when you're losing fat, you're losing a lot of toxins from your body.
Yes, yes.
Fat.
And yes, the metabolism works in a healthy manner. Okay, it speeds up. So when you have reduced, and then what happens is gradually you start introducing what all you are not introducing. Yes. Those things are important for vitality. So you start introducing carbs. So that should happen in a very slow manner. Maybe 2%, 3% increment you have to do.
Okay. It's a kind of titration you do.
Yes. So you start bringing everything in your diet because you have reset now. Now what happens is, and you have started, you start improving your workout and everything, and the optimization process starts from there.
So even doing the 16-8 kind of intermittent fasting, 16-hour fast, even such diets we should follow for a certain period of time.
Yeah,
not for lifetime.
Lifetime, if you follow it, will definitely ruin your metabolism. It will definitely mess up your entire hormonal environment. That's what now people, they don't go with the in-depth knowledge. Those guys are coming up. See, Americans are very good in selling, okay. They are coming up with lot of
new stuff.
Products, this, that, you know, every now and then something or the other, they are throwing it in the market, okay, and they want people to follow, but they don't show you the bigger picture. You might get to know the bigger picture if you take personal consultation from that coach.
Right.
And he will tell you, okay, that, you know, it takes 8 months, 1 year and all that. But yes, to get your hormones in place, these kind of diets will help. That can be low carb, that can be paleo, that can be zone, that can be IF, okay, that can be Atkins or ketogenic,
cyclic ketogenic. For a period of time.
It's 2-3 months only. That depends. That 2-3 months depends on how fat the person is. Okay, if the person is lean, within 1 month he might be able to reach a point where he has to start introducing. Okay, because kya hota hai na, over a period of time, after 2-3 months, the body, the leptin, starts playing tricks. Actually, hormones, you know, your metabolism slows down. Okay, and you start feeling lethargic, you start losing energy, okay, your body temperature drops. So these are the signs that, it's the time that you start shifting to the,
right.
And you hit plateau also, you stop seeing any weight loss, any result as far as aesthetic goal is concerned. So that's the time when you have to start, and this is the game, this is where coaches comes in play.
Yeah.
The good mind.
Some fails and...
This is where people, they ask me, what is the diet? I said, yeah, there is no diet. If I give you a diet, you might shine for 2 months. After that, you need me. You have to need a coach who will tell you that. Otherwise, everybody will have a good physique. No? Why they are not able to transform?
Right.
Because they don't know after what to do after 2-3 months.
Yeah.
For 2-3 months, they are seeing results. After that, you know, it's a vicious cycle. Things start happening in the, it goes in the other direction. What they don't want, that starts happening. You know, they're not getting results, they're storing more fat. The hormones are getting screwed up.
Yes.
So that's where you need precise, and you need a coach who has experience where to put what changes you have to do, how to introduce certain macros. So these are all little, tricky stuff.
Yeah, that's where a coach, transformation
comes in play. That's why people here, they don't see results.
Yes.
If they get information from the internet,
right.
Okay, this is the diet you should follow, they will follow. In 2-3 months, they will post in Facebook, they will do everything, we are losing weight and this and that, but how long?
And then they stop posting.
What about sustainability?
So, a long time back, you used to follow 3 basic lifts, which I have seen. During my sports fit days, you used to follow bench press, squat, deadlift, and very little cardio. At times, I used to see you doing some cardio. You still have same belief that we should keep endurance work minimal in a good training program, or is there any change in?
In my program, what I do is that again depends on the kind of program and the kind of goal you have. Okay, like the way I am training now is more focused towards strength, relative strength development. And I do cardio. I do 3-4 days cardio in a week. I do, but I take cardio in my program as a recovery element. Basically, I go for long walks. I do sometimes, I do jogging and sprinting also. It actually helps the blood circulation, and it helps because so much of locomotion is happening, it keeps my joints healthy, and also, you know, there is no spasm and fatigue in the lower back. I keep doing boxing also in between whenever, like, you know, I want to do cardio. I do that kind of cardio. I do shadow boxing. I do some sort of bag work.
No long duration, you know.
No, long duration is not required actually. That's
This is in fashion these days. Every other week there is some corporate marathon or something, and a lot of people are running. So
that's not. I wouldn't say that as a part of exercise or fitness. I would say it as part of socializing, actually.
Recreation.
It's more of a recreation, giving a break, and thinking that it helps you stay fit also. It's a misconception which people have. Okay, now endurance, that kind of endurance work, I would say, I have done a good amount of boxing in my lifetime. I used to train in camps also, in Chennai. Then I stopped. So, even after having that level of fitness, we hardly used to run for 5 kilometers or 4 kilometers. Okay. Even now, if you take a national level boxer, he might be running for 6 kilometers or 7 kilometers, depending on his, you know, level of fitness or in which phase he is in.
Maybe he is doing some night or something.
And it's an irony to see people without any fitness background aiming for 10 kilometers.
Yes.
15 kilometers.
Couch to 10 kilometers.
Okay. I mean, what are they thinking? I don't understand.
And you know, there are running groups in which people protest.
That's what,
it's
more of a socializing element, and it goes down to the cost also. I think it's less expensive compared to gyms.
Yes.
I think so. And most of the people join these kind of groups to socialize and network.
Don't you think it is deteriorating for health? For joint.
Obviously, it's deteriorating. First of all, the first important thing is you have to be light if you have to run. Okay, you have to focus on that first, that you start bring your body weight down. So much of fat and so much of weight will ruin your entire, you know, lower body, your joints, your knees, your ankle. Why is it required? Most of the people, they join, I'll say they join for fat loss or weight loss, okay? But they don't know that endurance work actually trains the body to conserve energy.
Right.
Okay. That means if you eat also, it will not burn the energy. Whereas fat loss goal or those kind of method trains the body to burn energy.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So here you are becoming more efficient in storing fat.
Yeah, here you are becoming more efficient because you need a lot of fat in your body to do endurance work. Once your glycogen is gone, the body switches to fat for energy.
It is so always thinking that.
Yeah, people don't know this. I believe the coaches also doesn't know. Okay. So there is no point.
Yes.
What is the need? I don't understand. What is the need of running 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers? Even a world-class athlete doesn't do that. Okay, they don't do it.
Now they don't do it. There was a time people used to do road work extensively, but
it's not needed at all. We are actually accelerating the aging process. Okay. And we are storing more fat. Okay, and this is a mentality, and over a period of time, all this group mentality is ki yaar, I've had 3-4 more extra beers, so I'll run extra tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So that kind of mentality. And most of the people are not following a good nutrition protocol also, I'll say. All middle-aged people, they are partying in the night. They have that kind of lifestyle, a typical North Indian lifestyle wherein you have 2-3 pegs in a night. And then you go in the morning and run for 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers, sweat it out. Okay.
So because for them, it's like a balance sheet. So they have deposited something. Now they can spend, so everything will be
managed. I'm not against long endurance Yeah. It's a sport. It's a sport, actually. It is.
You need to prepare for
it. It is performance.
Yeah.
Okay. It is performance. Performance is. See, people should. That's where the principle comes in play. Coaches doesn't know the principles. They have done some certification, they know a method, but they don't know the basic principles, the fundamentals. Okay, you have to be healthy first to become fit.
Right.
Okay, and once you become fit, you are eligible to perform.
Right.
Eligible to participate in a sport. Okay, now they say, yeah, sports is good. It's good if you are young.
Yes.
Okay, you're not young now. Okay. Ghee is good, you know, this is good, that is good for a young chap. Okay, they have a good metabolism, genetically they are at that point of time wherein they can do all this and they will not be lying down next day, you know, catching their leg or, you know, they'll put on fat because they are at that point of...
they can digest all
Yes, this. It's good and healthy for them, but your body is not in that stage now. You have to bring it to a stage where it is healthy now and then you can put eat ghee and eat whatever you want to have in a balanced manner.
Start, you know, their training. Like I've seen many people, they do their first half marathon without any preparation and they complete it. Like, it's not a big thing. They complete it, they get some false ego there and they run again and again and then they develop a lot of issues.
Marathons got famous as a... as a promotional event, basically. This is nothing but it's part of event management, I would say. Nothing else. The, wherein you, the Airtel is promoting their brand, or some corporate is promoting their brand. But I don't want to get into all that.
No, I don't believe
in criticizing.
The whole point was, it is not necessary for a layman or a layperson to run 10 kilometers every week to stay fit. It's actually
performance, right? It's performance. It's not required, actually. You know, that's where people, you know, they do things without thinking. That's the problem. Majority of the people are doing that. They are living.
Culture.
They are being so ignorant, and they just do it because everybody is doing it. They don't give it a thought. Why I'm doing it? Okay. If everybody thinks in a smart manner, then you know the economy will not function. so
right. So, it's necessary to have fools.
Yeah, yeah. So majority are like that. You can't do anything. I wouldn't say it's wrong. Running is good, but yes, you have to do it in the right way, and it takes time.
Yeah, where people are not even know how to walk, they're
takes
running.
Time. Takes time. You see these people, they come from all these African countries,
yes.
All marathon runners who normally win all the prizes and money.
Yes.
And they go back. So these guys, they're running, they've been doing it, you know, I don't understand, you know.
They're doing it for everything, they're doing it to fetching their water.
I don't understand ki becoming an athlete, is it so easy? You know, it takes so many years. Okay, for that African to reach 50 kilometer of running, he would have started when you might be so young.
5-6 years old.
Yes, and so much of practice and so much of, you know, proper way of periodization and programming and proper nutrition.
And at the same time, they have such life, they have to run. I mean, a person who works in an MNC, corporate job for 12 hours and finding 1 hour running after 40 years of age, they start their training and they think that they can reach to a level where these world class athletes exist. I don't think it's a practical role.
It's very difficult. But that's what people hear, they think overnight athlete, and then they're just feeding their ego. But again, the brighter side is ki most of the time people are just doing it for, you know, fun. Because their priorities are different in life.
Yes.
So they think that, okay, at least I am doing something which is making me active.
At least they are active.
That is also a thought process.
Yes.
Basically.
Please add.
And yes, they progress based on that. Like they will run for a year or two, then they will realize, okay, this is not helping me in any way. Then they will join a gym.
Right.
Then they'll focus on strengthening exercises. That's how the, you know, the the evolution takes place, basically the progression takes place.
That's why, like, it's a kind of food pyramid. Yeah. Start with a wide base and very few reach to the pinnacle.
So everybody is coming into the system, coming into the industry, and gradually they are evolving. They are realizing, okay, this is not the right thing to do. Now, if you see, most of the people who might be in a running group 3-4 years back, they have left it.
Yes.
Now they are doing something which is the next level. They have realized, okay, like, you know, I have to do running also, but I have to do strength training also. So yes. They focus on, they are trying to balance it out. Few people, they stop running completely. They focus on something else. So that's how they evolve, actually. So it's good for the industry. It's not that key. It's not good.
It's good for, in general, it's good that they are moving more than the previous generations.
Yes.
Though you have made your position very clear that you don't suggest supplements for beginners, but still, if I'll ask you that, like, to do a bit advanced training, what are the basic supplements one should take?
So most of the time, I normally suggest whey protein. Nothing more than that. Normally, a normal whey protein post-workout, that's more than enough. Because that's the best time to feed the body in a anabolic window. I don't believe in anabolic window. But at least, it's mentally relaxing also. Like, you know, after a workout, you have a shake or something.
Yeah.
It's a good practice.
It decreases cortisol.
It's a good practice, I believe. It doesn't matter if you have a food after 2-3 hours also. But anyhow, you're thirsty after workout, so you have a protein shake.
It is psychological.
And even, you know, I have come to a point wherein I take only half scoop of protein after workout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than enough. And after 1.5 hour, I'll go with my regular meals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've realized that, you know, the supplement industry, again, it's, you know, they're trying to be everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, they think that, you know, it's because of this supplement, because of that supplement. I don't believe in all that now. I think protein is good, protein is necessary. And yes, if somebody is on a diet and they're trying to lean out, or their training is little, advanced, then I normally recommend them the basic stuff like, you know, vitamin C, calcium, vitamin D, then B complex, and zinc, basic stuffs, which they can continue for 2-3 months.
So no creatine or stuff?
No creatine and all. Not required. What is creatine? Creatine actually increases water retention in your body.
That's how it increases ATP production.
It improves the glycogen level in your body.
Yeah.
And that's how you feel more tight and you feel more strength.
Energetic during workouts.
You get that strength that even the carbs can do. If you have carbs the right time, good starchy carbs, it will keep you full. It will keep your joints full. It will keep your muscle full. If you time the carbs properly.
Okay.
You need creatine for that.
Okay, that's great. I mean, it is in general practice, people take, amino acids.
And all, I never understood why people are taking it.
Yes, if you have a good amount of protein in your daily diet, there is no point.
No, you have a meal 2 hours before your workout.
Hmm.
The amino will stay in the body for 3-4 hours.
Right.
Okay. If you have, for instance, if you had chicken or if you had something which is slow digested.
Hmm.
Obviously, it takes 2-3 hours for it to convert it to amino acid and get absorbed in the body. So it's there in the body for 3-4 hours. Nothing to worry. That they've created that you have to have immediately, you know, otherwise you lose muscle. Yeah. That's all bullshit.
There are a lot of vegetarians in our country. I mean, most of the North Indian people, especially North India, I'm talking about, they are vegetarians. They even say they eat non-veg, but they eat non-veg like
Sometimes, once
in a month, you know, butter chicken. Mm-hmm. So, for such people, how to get protein in their diet?
A lot of sources, vegetarian. You have rajma, you have pulses, you have beans, you have paneer, you have milk products. These are all protein sources. basically. And yes, yeah, in vegetarians, that's where, you know, I believe that, you know, better don't be in a low-carb diet. Okay, you know, for a vegetarian, if they be in a low-carb diet, it's very difficult for them. Because then the problem is, for vegetarians, you see our Indian diet also, Sattvic diet also. Mm-hmm. You have rice and you have dal.
Right.
Okay, for vegetarians, what happens is, they don't have first-class protein.
True.
Okay, to access.
Right.
So what they have to do is, to improve the absorption, they have to combine it with carbs. If you combine dal with rice, the absorption will improve and the protein content will also improve. The biological value goes up actually. So that's why I say, if any vegetarian comes to me, I give them a balanced diet like this, you know, wherein they have roti also,
mm-hmm.
and they have the regular vegetarian protein sources, which is pulses, beans, rajma, even almonds for that matter, paneer. Mix it up. The problem happens with vegetarian is ki how can I accommodate high protein in my diet?
Okay. Yeah. Two types of my protein.
Yeah. I say you don't need high protein.
Yes.
You don't, nobody needs high protein. High protein is a propaganda. Nobody needs high protein. Okay. If you have 100 grams of protein in a day, even 80 grams of protein in a day, you will not lose muscle. Okay. Rather, you'll grow. Okay, but yes, you need to have macros which improves the protein sparing element. So you have 80 grams, 100 grams protein, and you increase your carbs. Okay, if you're carb sensitive, you increase the fat.
Yes.
Increase good fat. Increase almonds. Increase olive oil.
So you're not increasing total calories. Those are there. But you are playing with the macros.
Yes. Don't need to go high protein. I think it's of no use going more than 120 grams or 130 grams. It's a waste of money and unnecessary stress on your kidney and your system, basically. That's the fact. People don't understand, but that's the fact. You know, it's basically, even I never used to understand in my previous days, 2-3 years back. But now I've realized, I observed through my biofeedback also, if you take too much protein, it keeps you uncomfortable. It keeps you, you know,
your bowel irritated.
Your bowel, and you don't feel good. You don't feel good actually. If you have high, if you go above 120, 130, it's not required. Rather, you have that much amount and take the benefit of carbs, no?
Yes.
If you have low carb and you take high protein, why you're taking high protein? Because most of the protein will get wasted. That's why you take high protein.
Yes.
But if you have carbs, most of the protein will get absorbed because of the carbs. So vegetarians, they don't have any issue if they do this. They don't have any issue.
So even if somebody is doing a very hard workout, something, you know, like 3 times CrossFit,
mm-hmm.
training, or you know, they're preparing for any powerlifting meet or something. Then even then, 120.
Yes, yes. It's like I would say 0.4 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum you can go 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
Not more than that. It's not required. That's what I do. I'm not taking more than 120 gram, 110. That's the amount of protein I'm taking.
So it's a kind of wisdom you got after years of...
Yes, and I'm telling you, if you get access to the research papers, the real stuff, even the scientists are saying the same thing. People don't know.
Yeah, in recent PubMed article, I was so confused that mainstream high-level coaches like Charles Poliquin, they're suggesting 300 grams of protein every day.
Snake oil salesman.
I mean, it's seriously confusing. A person like Charles Poliquin is suggesting that. A PubMed article is saying totally different thing. And
Charles Poliquin is into selling supplements, no?
No, he's a great coach.
A great coach, but he is more into... He's become a businessman.
Okay.
In the past 4-5 years, he's focusing more on selling some magic
bullets
now and then, this supplement, that supplement. Most of the videos also you see selling supplements only. So that's what I say, this, you know, no need of high protein and all. High protein term has come from supplement industry only,
right.
To sell supplements. basically. You don't even need supplements, you don't even need protein powders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like if you time your meals in the right way, you don't need some protein supplements also.
What do you mean by timing your meal?
Timing, that's what I'm saying, like if you're working out and you have a 1 hour workout and 2 hours before you have a good meal wherein you have good amount of, you should know like, okay, I'm going to take this protein,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take chicken or I'm going to take a vegetarian source of protein. So you need to know that how long does it take for it to get through the digestive tract, right? So with that you can time it out. Okay, this is going to stay 3 hours, 4 hours in my body, so I have enough supply of amino acid throughout my workout. You don't have to be worried. And I finish my workout, after that I have another 1 hour window. After that, you have your meals. As simple as that.
So do you think there is any benefit of going gluten free?
I love bullshit, again.
It's a marketing gimmick.
It's all gimmick.
But, I have found many Indians are becoming gluten sensitive.
It's coming into my head. It's basically, again, the same concept. If you're fat, you're carb sensitive.
Yes.
Okay. You're insulin resistance, okay, and they relate this to gluten.
In the kind of flour we are getting these days,
you shouldn't go for packaged flour, no? You go,
yes,
for chakki atta.
Okay,
I take chakki atta only.
Is it available in city?
Yes, right? Yes, there is one shop in Vyapar Kendra, they give fresh.
So you have to be slightly explorative.
Why you have to go for all this package, the Ashirwad and all this? It's all maida.
Yes.
That's why it's so soft.
And that's why I think it works like sugar.
Maida is not good.
And now it's I'm going to ask a controversial question, actually. You may, pass it. There is a certification business growing in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like every other coach has started their own certifications,
mm-hmm.
and they're selling it. Do you think, is it benefiting our industry in any way?
That's why I've stopped doing certifications. It's been almost 3-4 years, I'm not doing any certifications.
You have stopped doing international certifications. Also, I'm talking about, you must have seen, I don't want to take the names of those academies and institutions, but every other coach, somebody is selling kettlebell certification, they have done some 2 days workshop and now they have started their own certification. Some of them, those who are supremely fat, are becoming nutrition experts.
Mm-hmm.
So, these things may help fitness industry long term?
No, wait, these things will not stay for long. These are all trends.
Mm-hmm.
It will go. Okay, now you see 4-5 years back who were doing certification, you can't hear them now to an extent. Okay, so it won't last. So all these trends will be wiped off.
So if somebody new want to enter in fitness industry, do you think they should start with certifications or they should start with internships?
Internship is more important, experience is more important. Yes, you need some sort of theoretical knowledge also, I would say.
So from where they can start?
Start working, start being little...
I'm talking about in terms of education, like they have joined a good gym,
mm-hmm.
as an intern. Okay, like some of good gyms in NCR are offering internship these days. But in terms of certification, like entry level certification, if somebody wants to do what it should be.
ACE is good.
ACE is good too. With foundation now.
ACE is good. Basic science, at least. You know the basic science. Physiology, biomechanics and all that. Very basic.
Mm-hmm.
At least. ACE is good. ACSM is good. That is more than enough.
And then you can build a foundation on top.
Okay, that is the foundation. And then you need to work. Now you see so many people are doing certification. But...
Yes.
They don't have practical knowledge, like how,
yes.
to work on the floor, how to give cues.
I think it is more important for trainers, for new trainers, to understand how to talk to clients,
mm-hmm.
in place of, how to give them hypothetical advices, like do this diet or do that program. So, I find trainers miss soft skills,
mm-hmm.
more than technical knowledge.
Soft skills, and yes, they require, they need to understand clients, and at the same time, Most of the trainers, what happens is they are lacking the basic foundation, right? Like what need to be done, less experience, and all of a sudden they are in the industry.
Yes.
Okay. With some god figure.
Right.
I am like, I belong to this cult.
Yes.
And all that. So it doesn't work that way. So I don't encourage anybody to do certification and do all that. I just tell them, you know, work. Okay, you have to go through the grind. Okay, nobody can become an expert overnight or 1 year or 2 years. What I believe is first 10 years of your experience is scrap. Okay, the second 10 years, you do the real work.
Right.
Okay, if you are very deliberate in your practice, okay, you know what you're, you know, you're doing it with good intention, you're self-educating yourself. So the next 10 years will be a life-changing experience for you, because the first 10 years you've done all, you know, you just wandered here and there.
Yes.
And the next 10 years you realize, okay, this is what I have to do. Then you do a lot of interrogation and you go into in-depth, basically. That's what I believe. It takes 20 years
to become a professional, to
call yourself an expert. So that's what in the beginning I told you, nothing is, there's no shortcuts. Shortcuts
right.
are gimmicks, okay. And the entire world, the entire business world thrives on this emotion. Mm-hmm. They give people dreams, they give people hopes, you know, you do this and you'll become this, you do this, you'll become that. You take an example, you do case study. Whoever is doing well in the industry, they would have gone through the grind, okay, would have been through everything, and yes, they would have practiced their trade in a very deliberate and intentional manner.
Yeah, they might not be the shining star of this industry, but they're
doing a lot of self-education and a lot of, you know, research and everything they would have done over a period of time. So that's what I say, like, you can't blame the academies and all these people also. It's the same story of engineering colleges.
Yes.
Okay, there are thousands and thousands of engineering colleges, you know, who are of no use in the corporate actually. Yesterday I was hearing a TED talk of someone, I think Shashi Tharoor, I believe. So he was saying, people, there are so many engineers, you know, coming in the market, but the corporates, they have to train those engineers, they have to retrain them for 1 year to make them employable.
Yes.
To make and train them in what? Train them in their own academics.
Yes.
Because what they have learned is of no use.
Right.
The quality of education is horrible.
That's true.
Okay. So 1 year they have to put them under a program wherein they can refresh their all fundamentals, engineering fundamentals, their courses and everything, so that, okay, they are ready now to be employable. So that's a condition with other industries also. You compare it with fitness industry also. They do 1 month of coaching. Okay.
1 month, you are very modest about it. They do like weekend certification.
So they do that certification and they become some expert. Okay, they become TRX expert, they become kettlebell expert. No, kettlebell is a module, is a method. Okay, you can't do everything with kettlebell. If I have to develop strength, how will I develop with kettlebell? It's not possible. Kettlebell is a good conditioning tool, strength conditioning tool, basically.
You can do some moves strength wise.
The best use of kettlebell is strength conditioning.
Yes.
Okay, strength endurance. Basically, that's the best use. But people who do this, they will put all the clients into kettlebell unnecessarily.
Right. I have been there when I was practicing kettlebell, and after doing my Strong First kettlebell certification, I decided to work in a kind of gym which was based on kettlebell training. And then you realize, when you go in depth in a system, then you realize the fault of the system.
You're actually insulting a kettlebell if you ask a person to, you know, just to take a kettlebell and do deadlift, actually. I'm just giving an example.
It's a good tool to teach deadlift. It's a good way to start with a beginner.
But you are insulting that tool.
Yes.
Okay. The best use of that tool is swings, snatches.
Swings, snatches, cleans.
Right? All these things are the best use. There are better tools to teach, you know, a deadlift, actually, yeah, than kettlebell.
That's true.
And again, a lot of people are doing circus also with kettlebell, which is again a...
It's good in circus. It's good in circus, but to, you know, motivate people to do it.
It's a good tool.
Yeah, it's a good tool to use, but definitely, if you're doing a certification and you're following that particular certification, those principles for at least a year or two, then you will realize that, again, it's a tool.
These kettlebell or all these of these complicated tools are just serving the trainers. It's not serving the client.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. A powerlifting certification, kettlebell certification, TRX certification, these certifications are only serving the trainer. The trainer has an interest. Mm-hmm. He is fond of that training methodology and he is doing it and he is practicing it. But what about clients? A beginner client, what he'll do with kettlebell or with a TRX or with 2-3 exercises maximum? And again, you have to, you know, bring them to the floor and teach them to how to, you know, stabilize their core and how to do mobility drills, the basic stuff.
I've seen people, you know, they can do goblet squat with the kettlebell because it's providing them the counterbalance. As soon as you call, ask them to do a normal squat, they fall backward because there is no counterbalance. So you have to teach them the basic squat. A person who can do
that counterbalance can be taken care of also, no, if you keep your hands forward.
Yeah. No, I mean, they have no ankle mobility, they have no stability, that's why that kettlebell is giving them that false support. And as soon as you pull this kettlebell out of their head, they are falling on the floor. So, what kind of training is this?
First important thing is to control the body, no? Yes. Body weight control is more important. So, after that you get into all these complicated tools. Kettlebell is a very good tool, but that's what I'm saying. It's
every tool is good.
It's serving the purpose.
If you see TRX, it's an amazing tool.
It's very good for shoulder stability. Yeah.
Gymnastic rings, everything is great. But
some no use to the clients. No use to the clients. Yes, it's good from a commercial point of view that you have so many things to show as an infrastructure.
Is it? It is actually very hard to teach kettlebell to a novice. Mm-hmm. People don't have such patience. Like for a month, it takes a month to teach good kettlebell swings. And after that, you can build, you know, snatches and all. And those are, you know, you have to put a lot of time, lot of work, and then only you can be. I injured my shoulder by doing kettlebell snatch. I was not ready for that. And I did that. So.
Good methods, but Indian population doesn't have people to use these methods. Majority. Mm-hmm. Because we like, most of the people are beginners and novice. So they just need basic stuff. That's where, you know, this basic split training comes in play, wherein you do everything in a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. Something like that, you know, body part training. That's more, much better. Mm-hmm. The risk to reward ratio is much better in that.
I'll just ask one more question. Mm-hmm. You have given a lot of time to us. There is a new thing which is coming. I mean, I don't see it as a marketing gimmick. Mm-hmm. Movement training. Mm-hmm. In which you are getting back to the roots. You are jumping. You are hanging on the trees. You are using the natural environment. And it's very new. So, do you think these tools can actually bring us to our roots and make us, I mean, the way we should be?
Like going to the basics, no?
Yes, yes, like primal move or MoveNet.
Going to the basics.
Movement culture, these things. So, like they are trying to incorporate everything, like some moves from contemporary dance, mm-hmm. some moves from some martial arts, and they are incorporating them and bringing at the floor. So... what is your thought about
it? It's good from a building foundation point of view. These are all high-level thoughts, actually. Mm-hmm. If you see, in abroad, the industry has evolved to an extent wherein, you know, they have realized what is important and what is not. And they give a lot of thought towards the industry. But in India, it's like people don't understand all these things because they're more busy with the crowd, with the herd mentality, and whatever is going around, people are following it without giving it a thought. Okay. And it's not just about the population also, it's about the industry people also. Right. They're also not giving it a thought. Mm-hmm. So these kind of methods and all, this is actually a lot of thought process has gone into it, mm-hmm. basically. You know, so once you come above all this basic, gray matter, mm-hmm. you realize the high level stuff, basically. Right. Okay, if you see movement training and all, this is basically they're simplifying everything.
Right.
They're trying to simplify. You know, focus more on body weight movements. You don't need external resistance.
Yes.
It's a good stuff.
Focus more on where your body is in space. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen people at taught people deadlift, and most of them are not able to understand when their back is round and when their back is straight. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you bring them to the floor and they spend some time on the floor, they're able to feel their back and able to correct their
deadlifts. Movement training is really good. I think beginners need that more than all these other methods. Movement training, that's what I also train people, the mobility drills and all this stuff. This actually prepares your body for the next level.